Welcome to episode 164 of Behind the Mission, a show that sparks conversations with Sacrament trusted partners and educational experts. My name is Dwayne France, and each week I'll be having conversations with podcast guests that will equip you with tools and resources to effectively engage with and support military service members, veterans, and their families. You can find the show on all the podcast players or by going to sacrament.org/podcast. Thanks again for joining us on Behind the Mission. Our work and mission are supported by generous partners who also believe that education changes lives. Our partner this week is PsychArmor, the premier education and learning ecosystem specializing in military culture content. PsychArmor offers an online e-learning laboratory that's free to individual learners, as well as custom training options for organizations. On today's episode, I'm having a conversation with Navy veteran Ronald Rutherford, the lead for the Whole Health Outreach Program for the Veterans Health Administration. He is responsible for bringing awareness to the VHA's whole health offerings for veterans and their families and served 26 years on active duty in the United States Navy. Find out more about Ron by checking out his bio in our show notes. Let's get into my conversation with him and come back afterwards to talk about some of the key points. Ron, thanks for taking the time to have a conversation today about the VA's whole health program. Before we get into that, I'd like to provide you an opportunity to tell me a bit about yourself and why this work's important to you.
Well, sure. I retired from the U.S. Navy after a 26-year active duty career. I was an independent duty hospital corpsman, serving on 5 ships in that career. And after taking care of sailors for so many years and other folk, I tailored my education. I knew that I wanted to go to work for the VA when I retired from the service. The plan was all along to go to physician assistant school after I retired. Had 2 kids in high school when I retired. So going to school for 2 years wasn't in the book. So I went the healthcare administration route. And I got very fortunate. So when I did retire, the VA was setting up this brand new office. We've got the longest name in the VA, the VA Office of Patient-Centered Care and Cultural Transformation. Brand new at the time in 2011 when I retired, and I got very fortunate. And I got hired on as a field implementation team consultant. So my first 9 years with the VA, I helped the VA facilities in Pennsylvania and Delaware get their whole health and their patient-centered care programs going. For the past 4 years, I've been in the position of whole health outreach and marketing. So my job is to get the word out to as many folks and organizations about what this VA whole health stuff is.
I really like how that idea of transitioning after a military career and wanting to continue to serve. And much like you, like I thought I'd go on to get a PhD, but I had to get to work early because I had 2 kids in high school too, which is why I went the clinical counselor route. But then you went into the VA right about the time where the VA kind of started seeing that first wave of Iraq and Afghanistan vets, maybe 2008, 2009. But really, it I think is that transition, not even the transition, because we're still serving Vietnam veterans, but really at the beginning of that shift in really the age and even some of the considerations that a lot of the veterans were serving at that time.
Oh, absolutely. We had in 2011, with a surge of newly eligible veterans coming in, the VA was looking for a way to make our VAs more friendly to veterans. My office, one of the first things we did was patient-centered care. We figured out that comfortable seats cost just as much as uncomfortable seats in waiting room. A little art on the wall is always nice for people to look at, and nice looking paint costs about the same as battleship gray. I was fortunate that I was able to help a lot of facilities to improve the way they look to make it more welcoming to the veterans who are coming in. Whole health didn't come till a few years later. We had to make our VAs look, smell, and be better than they were. After we accomplished that goal, then we looked at the whole health stuff. And the impetus for that was really 2014 with the Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act. That was the act where a lot of veterans and Americans, for that matter, were not able to get the amount of opioids that they had previously been able to get. Our office was charged with looking at alternative ways that veterans could control their chronic pain. And many veterans were already using a lot of these complementary integrative health therapies. So it was a natural progression for our office where we went.
Yeah, I really value the VA's whole health program. As I mentioned before we started talking, I've had colleagues in that space when I was doing community-based clinical work What I really appreciate about the approach is it goes beyond what many people consider health. Like, I'm sick and therefore I go to the doctor. Like, if they think about physical health, really the whole health program is encompassing a much more holistic view of really not just health, but general well-being.
Yeah. And that's what whole health is all about. It's about going into your provider and not having that old style paternalistic visit that you used to have. I'm a physician. I went to school for 16 years. I know what's best for you. It's the model where you walk in and you have a conversation with your provider, whether that be an NP, a physician assistant, or a physician, and that provider listens to you more. They ask questions. These are what matters most to you. What matters most to you is important in that clinical setting, because that provider, they've got certain goals for you too. And we've got to figure out how to come to those shared goals that are important for that veteran and that provider. It's important for you to control your blood glucose if you're a diabetic, but it's also important to that veteran to maybe be able to get to take their grandchild to a Pittsburgh Pirates game, but they can't because they can't climb the stadium stairs because they may have COPD. They may have other health issues. It's important for that provider to figure out where can we work on what's important for that veteran, and also be able to meet the clinical goals that I would like to get for them as well.
Yeah, improving their health, improving their physical health, but also improving their psychological health, their social health, things like that. I jumped out of airplanes 37 too many times when I was in the military. So my knees, my back, all of those things. But then I also had a sense of meaning and purpose when I was in the military. And a lot of veterans are struggling to find those kind of things in post-military life. And that's really, again, that's maybe not something historically that medical providers might consider, but that's really the idea of the whole health program, is not just thinking about knees and back, but body and soul.
Yeah, we're very values-based. We talk about one of the questions that we ask our veterans now is, what's your mission, what's your aspirations, and what's your purpose? In the military, everything is around the mission. We train for the mission, we're equipped for the mission, but after you get out of the service, you kind of lose that. So we want veterans to really think about, what's your next mission in life? What do you aspire to do? And really, what is your purpose? What do you want your health for? And these are questions that are hard. I don't know that I had ever been asked these questions by any of my military providers or even in the private sector. What do you want your health for? That kind of takes you back. You're like, wow, that's a deep question. I want my health. I want to be able to walk my daughter down the aisle and not be short of breath. I want to be able to take that grandchild to that baseball game. I want to run a marathon, and this is where we can tailor those services for that veteran to be able to meet those goals that they set for themselves. That can be some mental health services. That can be nutrition with a dietitian. And that can be some other specialty services with their pulmonary physicians for COPD. Instead of that going in for 30-minute appointment once a year or every 6 months or however often you see your VA provider, them doing labs, looking at them and saying, you're going to do this and this for before the next appointment. We want these veterans to be able to have deeper conversations with their providers and to be able to see that provider, to be able to see what that veteran has picked that they want to work on for their health. What is their mission, aspiration, and purpose?
I like that idea because it says not just what are your goals, but also really what's keeping you from your goals, right? You know, all my knees and my back, is that's what's keeping me from running a marathon like I want to. And then how do we address those things to help me achieve my goals? I think it really is, again, this, you know, treating sickness to sort of improving wellness. Your job is really to share the news and manage the whole health program, but medical centers throughout the country have individuals who can support veterans in engaging in the whole health program. If a veteran was looking to get involved in the whole health program at their local CBOC or VA medical center, how do you suggest they go about doing that?
Every VA medical center across the country has a whole health program manager. This is a person that is in charge of all these programs, and they know exactly what's going on, what services are provided in that particular facility. We have, at least in my opinion, we have the the website with the shortest URL for a government website. But any veteran can go to any of the search engines, Google, Bing, and type in VA Whole Health, and our website, our veteran-facing website, comes right up. And in the left-hand corner, there's a facility locator. There's a tab. They can click on that, and it gives them a name and a phone number of their Whole Health program manager right there in their local facility. They can reach out to them, and they can get attached to Whole Health services there.
Yeah, now definitely make sure that the link to that is in the show notes so folks can check that out. But again, it's this idea of across the country, they're covered by medical centers, and each medical center has someone there who is specifically there to support them. So if a veteran is considering accessing VA healthcare, you started to talk about some of the complementary or integrative care. What are some of the programs that a veteran can access if they go to the Whole Health program?
Whole Health is much more than just these complementary integrative health therapies. But there's eight modalities that are part of every veteran's benefit package now. And these are for treatment. The eight are acupuncture, biofeedback, clinical hypnosis, guided imagery, meditation, tai chi, therapeutic massage, yoga. And I acknowledge chiropractic care, but we don't include that in the eight. But chiropractic care is established in the VA already. Many of the veterans that listen to this may already be engaged with some form of chiropractic care. Now, when I'm having these talks, especially with a group of veterans, when I'm talking about the complement integrative health, I don't start with yoga. A lot of veterans get that mental model in their head. They're like, you're not putting me in yoga pants and I'm not doing a swan pose. And it's therapeutic exercise with a mindfulness component. Anything to get our veterans moving more is a good thing. I don't think there's ever been a provider that would not tell you that exercise and movement are good for almost every disease process out there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And going back to your point earlier, I have run a marathon and I have noticed that yoga is beneficial too. And this is, again, one of those things is what's keeping you from accessing your goal. And if yoga is the one thing that can help you do what you want to do, why not try it? And again, going back to that, oh, poo-poo on the medication, or I'm not having somebody stick needles or things like that. But then I think for a lot of veterans is, what's the alternative? Continuing to be in pain or not achieving your goals? Those are the kind of things that I think we can have conversations with those veterans that are just down on this kind of stuff.
Oh, no doubt. One of our flagship services, especially in acupuncture, is something that maybe many veterans have never heard of. It's called the battlefield acupuncture. This is auricular, which is, we put 5 points in a veteran's ear. This is effective for many things. So they're using it for nausea for cancer patients. It helps a lot of them. Instead of taking a pill while they're undergoing maybe some chemotherapy, they get the battlefield acupuncture to control that nausea. It's effective for some of the PTSD symptoms. And there's a myriad of conditions that veterans are seeing great improvements from using battlefield and full body acupuncture. All of these eight complement integrative health therapies are all evidence-based. And there, if you look on our website, if the veteran wants to know what the evidence says about any particular therapy, one of these CIH modalities, there's an evidence map on our website that they can look and see what it's effective for. These are not being utilized in lieu of traditional therapies. These are just more tools in the toolbox of a VA provider. They are things that can be utilized and tried. Acupuncture may not be effective for everybody. They may not get the effect that many other folks get. Then we move on to another therapy, maybe a traditional therapy. Some medication may be indicated if the acupuncture doesn't work. But many veterans are sensitive about adding another medication to their regimen, and these are very popular, and they're not expensive. So these are very cost-effective therapies as well.
I like the idea of don't knock until you try it, and what's the alternative is not being able to achieve what you're trying to achieve. And as you're saying, the evidence is there, and as veterans, you and I know a lot of veterans, and I think another thing that I value about the Whole Health program is it's not just saying, look at the evidence and the research it's done, but here's what other veterans are saying. Like, I'll read a journal article, but if I hear from my battle buddy that, hey, this has really worked for me, and you should, like, that's very powerful for a lot of veterans too. And that's something else that you've tried to do, especially with the whole health program.
Yeah. And right on our website, there are a lot of veteran success stories that veterans can click on and read. So veterans across the country are telling us this works. This is what works for me. And it doesn't have to be these eight modalities. There's a story on there about a veteran who really benefited from his PTSD by doing art therapy. He had some tremendous issues, and now he's an art teacher. He's managing a gallery, and he really credits a lot of the services, the whole health services that the VA provides for his success.
Now, you mentioned that, and you just talked a little bit, but you mentioned that the VA's whole health program is more than just these complementary and integrative health options. So there's a lot more programs besides just go in and get acupuncture and massage paid for.
There are. In the VA, a veteran can get a health coach now, a health and wellness coach. These health and wellness coaches are available across the country. And so veteran, these are folks that they're that responsibility piece that a lot of us are missing when we set a health goal. So this health coach will meet with a veteran at regular intervals, at an interval that they both agree to. That could be biweekly, monthly, quarterly. And the health coach is not a clinician. They are not providing healthcare advice, but they're helping that veteran to come to their own conclusions. And really, it's also a nice thing to come to that meeting and that health coach says, so how'd you do with your goals? How about them goals we set for before the last meeting? How are you doing with those? It's like, that workout buddy, when he comes and knocks on your door and you're like, oh, I don't want to go work out. But that workout buddy is that responsibility piece. When he's like, come on, let's go. That's what that health coach is. That health coach can point our veterans in different directions. They can provide access to resources for them that maybe they haven't ever thought about. They can make referrals to other services in the VA. I highly recommend the health coaching aspect for many veterans who are struggling to meet some goals that they want to achieve.
You know, and it goes without saying, for those who are eligible for VA healthcare, this is a free service, right? Those, if you're thinking about health coaches and what you're talking about, you just shared, if somebody wants to run a marathon, you get a running coach or strength training or CrossFit, like you go. But then for a lot of that, there is a cost to those coaches because they are professionals and go through their certifications, and they're not connected to the rest of, if I'm going to my strength training coach and saying I'm struggling with my job, they don't know whether or not they're going to connect me with somebody that can help me with employment, but the health coach and the VA can do that. But that's really, this is at no cost.
Absolutely. Yeah. And another service that we provide, and I recommend every veteran to do it, it's called an introduction to whole health. It's a service that I believe we're greater than 90% of our facilities across the country are providing it. It's usually only an hour or two, but it orients the veteran to all the whole health services in their particular facility. Another flagship service that we're very proud of is a veteran-led self-care group called Taking Charge of My Life and Health. If you look at some of our graphics, one of our graphics is, we call it the circle of health, and there's eight self-care areas that veterans are, it's areas that most folks have some control over in their lives. And the circle really talks about how one area can affect another, such as resting and recharging. If you're not getting enough rest, and veterans by far, we don't sleep as well as our civilian counterparts. So if you don't sleep well, you don't feel like going out and moving the body. You don't feel like exercising. The same thing is said for your surroundings. A homeless veteran, if they're homeless, they don't have a place to cook a nutritious meal. They don't have a place to get that restful sleep. So these groups are veteran-led, and the veterans actually get to talk about their successes and challenges around their own self-care. And the veterans listen to veterans more than anybody else. That facilitator is there to really guide the conversation. And our veterans are doing a lot of really cool things themselves that can be replicated by other veterans to improve some of these areas. And really, it's not a clinical session. It's not meant to be that. It's not meant to be a mental health session. But a lot of veterans say that these sessions, they usually 8 to 10 week sessions, But they're saying that these sessions are really cathartic for them. They enjoy the camaraderie of being with the veterans. They enjoy talking about their successes and challenges around areas in their life. And every facility across the country has these groups. I encourage the veterans, these can be in person, they can be virtual. In this virtual world, most of our health coaching is done virtually these days. Our veterans can utilize that service from the comfort of their own home, and they can attend these Taking Charge of My Life and Health sessions with other veterans, either in person or virtually.
Yeah, and I think that's something else that I've really valued. Again, my personal experience engaging with the whole health program here in Colorado is that peer aspect. As you mentioned, veterans will hear from other veterans. And it's not just like peers, like you and I have been out of the military. We're the early wave of the global war on terror, right? When I joined in 92, there were some late Vietnam veterans that were still in the service in the early 90s. But this idea of cross-generational support in that as we went to that transition to the younger veterans, the changes, the more comfortable chairs weren't just for the younger veterans, they were for the older veterans too. And the older veterans are engaging and supporting younger veterans. So really, it's this cross collaboration. And it's really peer-led to say, hey, there's different ways that we got to do stuff.
Yeah, definitely. These facilitators go through some pretty good training to do these groups. I teach that course to VA employees and volunteers. A lot of our facilitators are actually veteran volunteers. They believe in the program so much that they volunteer to do those groups. Yeah, I tell you, there's so many moving targets with Whole Health. There's so many things that are going on that I'm so surprised every time I do an event and veterans have never heard of all these services in the VA. I love to talk about Whole Health. And when I get to talk to veterans and inform them about these services, and a lot of the younger veterans, just really resonates with them because they're not the folks that want to go into a smoky old vet W bar, and they want to be able to go out and do community work. There's many things that our VSOs out there, Team Red, White, and Blue, one of my favorite VSOs, they do a lot of the exercise thing. They've got chapters all across the country. So our younger veterans are really in tune with doing community work, and they're really in tune with the virtual world. Many of them are much more comfortable with attending these health coaching and Taking Charge of My Life and Health sessions virtually. And I tell you, you can get that camaraderie even in a virtual environment, you know, when you really get to know these people. The in-person ones are very good as well. Sometimes the VA is an 8 a.m. to 4:30 organization. Those working age veterans, the virtual portion really resonates with them.
Yeah. And definitely, even after the military, you can teach old dogs new tricks. And so some of the older veterans can absolutely learn from some of that. So again, don't knock it till you try it. This has been great, Ron. So if people, and you mentioned it before, but if people want to find out more about the Whole Health program, how can they do that?
I go to our website. There are a myriad of resources on there. Lots of veteran stories for them to look at. Lots of videos. You can actually even do some of the complementary integrative health. We have videos on there for chair yoga and acupressure. Acupressure is another form of acupuncture without the needles. You can watch those videos and try some of those modalities, which may help headaches and things of that nature. There's a lot of videos on there. They need to go on and explore those things. Look at the evidence maps, and make your own decision about what some of these complementary integrative health therapies before they seek them out. Talk to their providers. We have trained over 35,000 providers in the VA on Whole Health, and many of the providers are really very attuned at really changing the conversation with our veterans about their health.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I'll make sure the links to all of those are in the show notes. Ron, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed this.
Once again, we would like to thank this week's partner, PsychArmor. PsychArmor is the premier education and learning ecosystem specializing in military culture content. PsychArmor offers an online e-learning laboratory that's free to individual learners, as well as custom training options for organizations. I'm glad that we were able to highlight the VA's Whole Health program and bring Ron in to have a conversation about it. The first reflection I have is how the goal of the Whole Health program is to shift the perspective from treating illness or injury to improving wellness. That's not how medical care is generally thought of in our country, and certainly not in the military and veteran space. When we were in the military, you generally only reached out to the medical support team when you were really injured. Typically, you avoided it. Common saying in the Army was, suck it up and drive on. Deal with whatever the situation is and accomplish the mission in spite of the issue. That wasn't universally true, of course. You had some service members who frequently accessed medical care, either through necessity or with some other purpose. And the fact that others who did not frequently access medical care often had to pick up the slack further reinforced the avoidance of routine medical care reaching out for support. Therefore, you only sought medical attention when it was entirely necessary. And while that's not really sustainable in the long run, when you're in your 20s or even 30s, how about when you're in your 40s or 50s? Instead, as Ron identified during our conversation, thinking about what someone's goals are and then helping them remove the barriers to that goal is different than saying what's wrong or broken that needs to be fixed. Simply treating someone's illness or repairing an injury can be seen as taking someone from below zero back to zero. It's not raising them above zero, it's correcting a deficit. If the only thing we ever do is fill in the holes, we never get a chance to build above baseline so that we can climb a mountain. Take the time to think, am I happy? Am I satisfied? Does my life have purpose and meaning? Am I doing things that invigorate me and give me something to look forward to? Those can be hard questions because if the answer is no, then the reasons can be kind of scary. Either I'm not doing the things that give me purpose and meaning because I don't want to or feel like I can't, due to an emotional or psychological reason, in which case reach out to talk to me or another mental health professional, or you're not doing those things because you don't have the ability to do so or because of some other barrier, health concerns, or you don't have stability or the resources in your life to do so. That's where the VA's whole health program can come in to provide support. The other point that I'd like to bring up is related to the complementary and integrative modalities that Ron talked about. As he mentioned, some veterans, and they're not just veterans of a certain age or gender, will hear these options and reject them. But again, I'm of the mind of don't knock it till you've tried it, and I've tried all of these. The battlefield acupuncture, the needles in your ear, I've had it done several times, and I can tell you that, for me, it is relaxing and soothing. I made the mistake one time of having it done over lunch before going back to work, and I had trouble keeping my eyes open. I've seen and provided both biofeedback and neurofeedback modalities. Again, it's amazing what results can be experienced by the technology available to help our brains and bodies do more of what it does naturally. I am a proponent of guided imagery and meditation. I've used both in my clinical practice and my personal practice. Tai Chi has always fascinated me, and I've taken some workshops and sessions around that. And, as I mentioned, yoga helped me when I was having some painful hip flexor issues when I was training for a marathon last year. And while I appreciate my personal space, I've even gotten massages before, although they're not really my thing. But that's okay, because that's one thing out of eight that I wouldn't sign up for if I was given the chance. But that's the point. I gave it a chance before saying it wasn't for me. When I was conducting suicide prevention workshops, one of the most meaningful conversations that I had with attendees was the idea of, would you do anything you could to save someone you care about from dying by suicide? Someone who is really close to you is in danger. Would you do anything? Run into a burning building? Step out onto a ledge with them? Put yourself in danger? Almost exclusively, the answer would be yes. Then I would ask them, if you would do literally anything to help them, what if one of those things is having a difficult conversation with them? If the anything is asking them if they're thinking of dying by suicide. That's a different kind of courage and led us to having some good dialogue around how to have difficult conversations. I see the same thing here. Would you do anything you could to achieve your goals or even, as Ron mentioned, to simply not be in pain? If you would do literally anything you could, why not try acupuncture or meditation? Some people may say that they're afraid that it might not work, but would you be any worse off than you were if you hadn't tried it? And on top of that, as Ron mentioned, the whole health program is so much more than just these modalities. There are peer groups, there's the coaching aspect, there's a lot more things that can be done rather than just sucking it up and driving on. So I'm really glad to have been able to share Ron's conversation and highlight the VA's whole health program. So I hope you appreciated this conversation with Ron. If you did, we'd love hearing from you. Drop a review in your podcast player of choice or send us an email at info@psychomer.org. For this week's PsychOmer Resource of the Week, I'd like to share the PsychOmer course Communicating with Veterans. This course discusses how to communicate effectively with veterans using communication tools such as open-ended questions, affirmations, and reflections. You can find a link to the resource in our show notes. So thanks again for taking the time to listen to this episode.
Make sure to take a look at the show notes, which you can find in the podcast app, as well as on the PsychArmor website at PsychArmor.org/podcast. While you're there, you can find hundreds of online training videos delivered by nationally recognized subject matter experts who are all committed to educating the non-military community about military culture. All of these courses are free to individual learners. You wouldn't be listening if you didn't care, and it's that curiosity and passion for supporting service members, veterans, and their families that we want to encourage and increase. Come back each week for another conversation, and make sure to engage with PsychArmor on social media to let us know what you thought about the show. I'd like to express special thanks to Operation Encore and Navy Seahawk pilot Jerry Maniscalco for our theme song, Don't Kill the Messenger. This show was produced by Headspace and Timing, and all rights to the show remain reserved by PsychArmor. Much appreciation to the team at PsychArmor that makes this show happen. Carol Turner, Vice President of Strategic Communications, who keeps me on track and is an outstanding guest coordinator, and support and transcript by Emma Atherall. Feel free to share the show. In fact, we request that you do, but make sure to let folks know where you heard it. Join us next time for another great episode, and until then, stay aware, get educated, and be well.